Hey, good morning, Las Vegas. You're listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast, a programming effort of the Church at Las Vegas to proclaim that God is good, His grace is amazing, His love is available, and the power of the good news about Jesus is real and can and does change our lives.
Las Vegas, and welcome to 2018. My name's John Racine with the Church of Las Vegas, and we're glad that you're listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast this morning. We are so excited to begin preaching and teaching through a new year of life as God gives it to us. And one of my favorite scriptures is 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. And that's a lot of ways we look at life, and especially as we finish one year and start another one, we know that last year happened with all of its good things and all of its difficult things, with all of our joys and all of our sorrows, with all of the things that we learned and all of the things we wish we'd done differently. But here's the point, is that the old is gone. We can't change it. It's part of who we were. It's part of our past. And yet the new is here. And frankly, we ought to look at every single day like that, shouldn't we? We should wake up every day with the mindset of today is a new day, and we need to seize the day. We need to rejoice that we have a new day to live. And of course, 2 Corinthians 5:17 is talking about salvation. It's talking about that if anyone is in Christ, because that's the only place that salvation can actually happen, is in Christ. There's no other name given to men under heaven by which we must be saved. And this is God's predetermined purpose in life, that life can only happen in Christ. And so if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. Christ is the very beginning of the new creation, and anyone who responds to the good news about Jesus Christ, obeys the gospel, they become part of that new creation through him as well. So the old is gone, the new has come. That old man of sin, as it were, that old person that we used to be before we made a decision to follow Christ, that's gone. The new creation is come. And that's what matters in life, that we recognize that we're a part of that and that we rejoice in that every single day of our life. And so I hope you're glad, however many years ago it was, that the old was put away. The old is gone. The new creation is Christ is here, and that you continue to live as that new creation year after year, decade after decade, for the rest of your life. There's great hope in all of these things. And so we're going to start the year off back in Ecclesiastes, and you're like, oh, I don't want to go back to that discouraging, depressing book. Well, you know, there's a lot of things that we can learn from those things. Sometimes you can learn more from discouraging things and hard, difficult things than you can learn from joyous, wonderful things. So it all works together. Remember, in Ecclesiastes 3 and verses 1 through 8, there's a whole list of just normal activities that happen in life. Some are good, some are not so good. And the point is, all of these things happen. And Solomon's question again to us is, verse 9, what do workers gain from all their toil. In other words, you know, you go through all this stuff and the burden sometimes, like it talks about in verse 10, I've seen the burden that God has laid on the human race, is that we don't get everything. We don't understand everything about life, do we? You know, I'm not that old. I just turned 50 this last year. But here's the point is that I haven't got it all figured out. Things don't always make sense to me. And through all of the different activities of life, you know, if you try to understand it all and try to figure it all out and want all the answers, it's not going to happen. And sometimes you work and things don't work out like you planned. And you're just like, what's the point? Well, the point is that we don't have all the answers. And that's why without God, life seems hopeless. That's why Solomon's asking here, what's the point of all of the toil? What's the point of working? What's the point of anything that we do? It's all just, nobody can figure it out and it's all going to end. And so it's just all vanity. Okay, that's the point without God. But along with that, in verse 11, he's made everything beautiful in its time, and he set eternity in the hearts of men. And so, you know, men intrinsically know, if they think about it, that this life isn't all that there is. There's got to be more. There's something bigger and greater that's out there waiting for us. And if we'll grab hold of that in God, then we can have something to look forward to. And yet again, no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. So yes, he's put eternity in our hearts, but we can't understand that completely or fully yet either, can we? And so we're either going to let that frustrate us and cause us to get upset at God. Well, why don't you tell me what's going on? And why don't you let me know why this is this and why this happened or why that happened? Why don't you let me understand? Because he doesn't. And, you know, Job struggled with some of those things. You read the book of Job. But ultimately, Job figured out that, hey, he's God, we're not. Big difference. And so instead of trying to be God, instead of trying to control it all, instead of trying to understand every little minute detail or facet of life, you know what we need to do is just be grateful that God has given us life. Somebody says, well, you don't know what my life's like. I don't know if I'm grateful for it or not. Like, well, you can choose to have that attitude, but your life is going to be miserable. You're going to go through life always being upset and frustrated and mad and angry. And who knows? There's so many people that just take their life because they just hate it instead of realizing God has meant so much more for us. Verse 12, he goes, I know that there's nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is the gift of God. Being satisfied, doing a good hard day's work, eating and drinking and enjoying life as it were, and to be happy and to do good while they live. And not just good to themselves, but good to other people too. This is the gift of God, that there's satisfaction in that. In fact, it's very similar to what Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting in verse 6, he writes, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we'll be content with that. See, there's the contentment. In other words, to enjoy life, to be satisfied with life, wherever you're at, no matter what circumstances. Now, again, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't be ambitious and strive for more and strive to learn more and strive to grow into things, but we should be content with the circumstances and the situations we're in, wherever they are. He goes on to say in verse 9 of 1 Timothy 6, those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. Hey, that, you know, always pursuing, always never satisfied, always looking for more, just one more dollar, one more million, one more this, one more that. You'll never be satisfied. Okay, the gift of God, Solomon says back here in Ecclesiastes 3, is that you enjoy life, that you be happy, and that you do good while you live, and that you find satisfaction in your work and in your toil and in whatever you have, that you be grateful instead of ungrateful. Back in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10, Paul continues to write, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. And some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." Hey, just looking to find all their satisfaction here, thinking that, oh, more money will satisfy me. It never will. More of this will satisfy me. It never will. Nothing will truly satisfy you in this life except fellowship with your Creator, fellowship with the rest of His creation. And being content in all of those things. You see, that's what we can be satisfied with. Back in Ecclesiastes 3:14, he says, "I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it, nothing taken away from it. God does it so that people will fear him." In other words, that eternity is set in our hearts, but we're not there yet. And God is who he is, and we are who we are. We're not supposed to figure it all out. If we knew everything, we'd be God, and you can't be. And so stop trying. Stop trying to control everything. Stop trying to be God, okay? That you find satisfaction in what you have. And yet knowing that God has everything all figured out. God has made everything beautiful in his time. Everything that God is a part of will endure forever. And, you know, we can't add to it and take away from it. And that's the point, is that we need to fear. We need to honor God. We need to recognize him and turn toward him so that we can ultimately find satisfaction in this life. He goes on in verse 15 to say, "Whatever is has already been, and what will be has been before. God will call the past to account." In other words, nothing escapes God. To him, all time is time, and the things that have already been are going to happen again. It's already happened. God sees this cycle of life and people born and dying and planting and uprooting and tearing down and building and weeping and laughing and embracing and not, and a time to search and a time, all of life. You know, it's no mystery to God. He understands it all. He knows the number of hairs on our head. And so we need to recognize that will never be us. And so we need to trust God. We need to honor him and listen to him and search the things that he has given us to strive to understand those and find satisfaction in what we have in life. You know, here's one more thing, going back to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17. He says, "Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment, if we'll enjoy it." Somebody says, "Well, you know, God's not providing me with very much to enjoy." Really? I mean, come on, you can be thankful about even the tiniest, smallest things, okay? Even if you don't think that you have what you should have, try being content with what you have and thanking God for what you have and enjoying what you do have and thanking him for it and continuing to hope in him. That's where life is truly satisfying. But he goes on to say in verse 18, command those who are rich in this present world, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds and be generous and willing to share. you know, that's even more where life is. It's not all about seeing how much you can accumulate for yourself. It's about doing good for others, about sharing and being kind and being willing to share and helping people along. Not enabling them, not just giving people stuff just to give it to them. That doesn't do anybody any good. But to do things that will benefit and bless other people's lives and to be willing to share. Verse 19 says, in this way they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. That's a life in Christ. That's a life that honors God. That's a life that's satisfied with life as God has given it. And even if we don't have as much as the next person, it's not about comparing ourselves with everybody else. It's about you personally being thankful to God for life and honoring him with the life that he's given you. You know, nothing's going to escape God's notice. Nothing's going to be hidden from him. He knows all things. He's going to bring all things to judgment and account. And so, you know, even those situations where people say, well, that's not fair. Life's not fair. No, it's not. Again, as we've said, do you really want it to be fair? Hey, people use that word so loosely. And so I just know that God is just and righteous and fair and good. And God will work all things out for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. I challenge you and implore you to find life in Christ if you don't have it. If you do have it, keep walking in him, not looking to this world to find satisfaction, but the things that you have, be satisfied with. Keep hoping and looking for those eternal things that still await us. Hey, we're going to listen to our first song this morning. This is a song by Audio Adrenaline called Kings and Queens. And it's really kind of a plea to do something good for maybe a child or children that, you know, are in not so good situations. Maybe orphans, those in distress, you know, maybe taking the lead in helping a child to grow up with a biblical perspective instead of just what this world has to offer. Something to think about and consider, you know, what kind of good deeds are we doing with this life that God has given us? Let's listen this morning.
Little hands, shoeless feet, lonely eyes looking back at me. Will we leave behind the innocent to grieve? On their own, on the run, when their lives have only begun, these could be our daughters and our sons. To belong.
All right, we're back this morning, and let's just jump right back into Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 16. You see, when he just got done talking about God calling the past into account and thinking about what's all gone on before, it kind of leads into verse 16. He said, "And I saw something else under the sun." Okay, remember, under the sun is kind of indicative of life just here without that godly perspective. "I saw something else under the sun. In place of judgment, wickedness was there. In place of justice, wickedness was there." Okay, this is one of the things, like we just got done talking about, that bothers people so much. The whole concept of justice, that it's not fair, and why does God allow wickedness to happen? Why does God allow perversion to happen? Why does God let people do such unholy, terrible, wicked things? And again, to whatever degree people think and compare themselves or wicked or what, but everybody's got some comparison. But this is what Solomon says. You know, when you look in the place of judgment, wickedness was there. We know that justice gets corrupted and judgment gets corrupted by men. God hates that. As you read through the Old Covenant, man, over and over, God hates dishonest scales. He hates people taking advantage of other people, taking advantage of the oppressed and the foreigner. God hates it when people take advantage of other people. And God doesn't like it one bit when people, quote unquote, get off the hook because of bribes. Okay, and he tells judges, don't accept bribes. Don't do this. And so Solomon saw that there, and it's very prevalent in life that justice can be perverted if men don't do the right thing. But then again, he's trying to bring God back in this. He says in verse 17, "I said to myself, God will bring into judgment both the righteous and the wicked, for there will be a time for every activity, a time to judge every deed." So here's the flip side of it, and this is where the person who puts their hope and their trust in God goes with this, is that ultimately, and even right now, God is bringing everything into judgment, both the righteous and the wicked. You see, because we do that, don't we? "Well, God, why don't you judge them?" Okay, well, are you prepared to have God judge you? Wow, it's a question you got to think about, isn't it? When you get too worked up and, boy, you know, "God, why don't you punish them? God, why don't you bring judgment on their actions?" Are you ready for God to do that to you? Well, this is one of those things that people don't think of a lot of times, that when they start crying unfair and foul and why do you let this happen? Well, you look at your own life, okay? So there is going to be a time where God will bring into judgment both the righteous and the wicked. And that's called Judgment Day. And, you know, those that are righteous, that are new creations in Christ, who have been striving to walk with God and alongside God and listening to God instead of just trying to be God, well, there's just joy and excitement about that time because God will judge us according to our deeds, and it'll be shown. While, you know, not all those deeds are exactly what they should have been, what matters ultimately is whether our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Okay? And ultimately, that's going to be the final judgment, because even the quote-unquote righteous, there's going to be things in their lives that aren't righteous. There's going to be deeds that they shouldn't have done or sins that they did commit. But as you look at their life, as God judges their life, there will be sorrow and repentance for those things. There will be a turning to God and wanting God to wipe those things out as well. But to the wicked who doesn't care about God, boy, all they're going to do is just stand in their own life, a life that's going to be full of wickedness and ungodliness and depravity. And somebody's like, "Well, even they do some good things." Sure, and all of those things will be weighed. But ultimately, if they haven't accepted salvation in Jesus Christ, God's going to judge them absolutely justly, absolutely fairly. There's no bribes. There's no way of getting around those things. And so we want to be a kind of people that says, all right, we know that we're not going to get away with anything. We know that God is going to be a righteous judge. And so we strive to live in a way where there won't be judgment against us, but rather God saying, well done, good and faithful servant. And those times when we don't choose the right thing, we need to confess our sin to God and go before him in humility and agree with him that what we did was wrong, that we repent of that and determine that we are not going to continue to walk in that way. I'm so glad that we can serve a God who is concerned about justice and making sure that things get taken care of. And so that's why I can cast all my anxieties on him. That's why I can know that even when it seems to me that things aren't right and things aren't just and people are getting away with stuff, that ultimately no one's going to get away with anything, that God's going to take care of that. Let's just make sure that we're on the Lord's side. Let's just make sure we're part of that new creation instead of being those whom the wrath of God is going to come on. We would love to be able to explain these things to you and with you and reason together. We're the church at Las Vegas. We meet at 3388 South Decatur Boulevard, right in between Spring Mountain and Desert Inn. And you can come meet with us on Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening at 6, and Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. We're just starting a new study on Wednesday night on the book of Revelation. So if you're interested in that, we'd encourage you to come out for that. But anything that you have questions and concerns about from the Word of God, we'd love to hear from you. You can find us on the web at thechurchatlasvegas.com, thechurchatlasvegas.com. There you can contact us with any questions or things that you would like to know about. You can also listen to past messages from the radio broadcast and from otherwise on Sunday morning and Sunday evening. But we just really want to encourage you this new year to be excited about your relationship with God and to continue to pursue that. Seek him with all your mind and heart and soul and strength. Delight in the things of God and just pursue him with all that you have and live for his glory and honor. Thanks so much for listening again this morning. Keep standing on the solid rock, the rock that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. God bless you.